نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عالم الجود والكرم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرة. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه وبارك وسلم. حضرت انس رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ قال قال رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم: اذا امرتم بجواز الجنہ فارتعوا. قال وما رجال الجنہ؟ قال الیکم الذکر. روایہ ترمذی، احمد، بیہی، مشکات.
This hadith is narrated in Tirmidhi, Bayhaqi, Ahmad and Mishkat. And this is a very famous and well-known hadith that Allah Ta'ala has allowed me to read and for you, respected people, to listen to. And these are those precious pearls, illuminated pearls, that the noble companions, honorable companions, heard from the blessed speech of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they absorbed this into their heart, protected them, and these same words they have delivered to us. So how much we are fortunate, alhamdulillah, so fortunate that the Holy Prophet, the Merciful Prophet, the Gracious Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his beloved words that came from his beloved speech, in that same way exactly we are hearing those same words. So we cannot imagine the barakat of this. And in this, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his companion, a very famous companion, Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, and he said that I myself heard this from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this hadith he has narrated. You will see this in various narrations in Mishkat, in Bayhaqi, in Tirmidhi. And Hazrat Mawlana Zakariya Sahib rahmatullah alayhi also in his kitab Fazail Amal has also presented this hadith. It's a short hadith, small hadith, but extremely, extremely beneficial and necessary message that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given to us. And this, a message is that thing that is given, and after hearing it, we should take benefit from it and we should practice upon it. And the message is this, that Hazrat Anas radhiyallahu anhu has narrated that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it's a unique hadith this is, that when you pass by the gardens of paradise, then you should graze with them. He didn't say eat, he said graze. And the companions were very surprised that the gardens of paradise, where has paradise come here? But those words came from who? From that blessed tongue which is honest, sincere, factual. And there's no doubt, there's no element of doubt in what he said. There's no element of doubt in the words of the Prophet. Where there is no element of doubt, then it cannot be that we shouldn't practice on his words. So this is the difference between us. And what a great narration, what valuable words, and the enjoyment is this, and the haq, the right of our iman is such that we should say, amana wa sadaqna, we should accept this message, embrace it, and do the same as the Holy Prophet ﷺ told us to. Because whatever words the Prophet ﷺ gave to his ummah, his nation were for the benefit of the Ummah, not for giving us distress, not to put us into problems and issues or to give us hardship. No, that he wanted to deliver us to Jannah, paradise, and save us from hell, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So why would he give us distress? But the same point comes back. We are lacking certainty in yaqeen. We step back. We do a U-turn. We don't say this. Our iman can never say this. Such words, and a person who thinks like this, he doesn't have iman. If he says, oh, it's too hard, I'm not practicing this, then there's no iman in that person. Yes, how can it be we have to do this? Oh, it's too difficult. How can we practice that in this day and age? We don't see the who gave these words. Whose instruction is it? Whose message is it? And we are rejecting and we are hoping for what? That we will go into paradise. We will go to the higher grades of paradise. Be extremely cautious in this, my friends. Be extremely cautious. So it's stated in this hadith that when you pass by the gardens of paradise, then what should you do? Not eat, but graze. There's a difference in eating and grazing. That the grazing is done by animals and eating is done by human beings. Human beings eat. If you leave an animal in a farm or an orchard, then he'll clear it. He'll eat everything. So he stated that the gardens of paradise are such that when you go there, when you reach there and see them, then you'll have to eat there like the animals do. Don't leave anything from that garden. So the noble companions were surprised, but their yaqeen is total. They requested, they asked, just like they said that the gardens of paradise, oh, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may our parents be sacrificed upon you. That what are the gardens of paradise? But we have yaqeen, we do believe what you're saying, but what are these meadows of paradise that you're mentioning? So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the sign, subhanallah, subhanallah. And those people are fortunate, he raised their fortunes and he opened the doors to Jannah for the animals. What did he say? How did he reply? Qala halaqu dhikr, halaqu dhikr. That the gardens of paradise are what? He, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, the circles of the remembrance of dhikr, the gatherings of dhikr, the majalis of dhikr, the halakas of dhikr, where people gather together, assemble together, sit down, and their only objective is what? To do the dhikr of Allah. I'll give you an example. That if someone calls you, have you come here for a walima invitation, or have you come for some other invitation or feast, or have you come for food here? No. Without invitation, without anyone reminding, Allah's call, he called out, announced, and you've come down, and you sit down, and you gather in the dhikr of Allah. So this is the majal, these are the majalis of dhikr, the gatherings of dhikr, and the Prophet ﷺ defined these gatherings of what is the definition? What does this become? That whatever portion of earth you sit and this gathering takes place, then don't think it's earth, rather consider it. It is a garden, a portion of paradise. Riyadul Jannah. This is hadith. And what a great narration. That the form of that earth changes at that time. Yes, whether you accept or not, doesn't make any difference. Allah Ta'ala can make Jannah what He wants. He can make whatever portion Jahannam. Because everything is under the control of Allah. وَمَا ذَلِكَ بِالْعَزِيزِ Allah says, nothing is difficult for me, Allah says. Nothing is difficult for the Creator. That in the place where there's no iman, Allah can put the gardens of paradise. Yes? So don't consider it some normal piece of earth, some normal gathering. Don't consider it as a normal action. Rather, it's an extremely great gathering and action at that time. The Prophet of Allah said that it is, has become, that earth has become the garden of paradise, a meadow of paradise. Now here's a question arises here. Number one, that to eliminate the doubts, to get rid of the doubts I'm speaking, so that we can take benefit from this hadith. First thing, who is telling us this? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who is listening? The noble companions. And what is he saying? That the gatherings of dhikr, go and sit down. This is the case, isn't it? So it's proven here that today, that the dhikr gathering isn't something that's been created today. This is from the days of the Sahaba, the gatherings of dhikr. This is why the Prophet of Allah is saying this, that when he is addressing the noble companions, the Sahaba, it's not for us. The Sahaba are present, they're living, And they're asking a question, where's the Garden of Paradise? And the Prophet said, wherever there's a gathering of dhikr, then don't think it's a piece of earth. So what we learn is that the halakha of dhikr is not some new action that's been brought about, some innovation or creation. Rather, it is from the time, the era, the generation of the noble companions with the hukum, the instruction, these gatherings were established of dhikr, and they will continue until qiyamah. The reason for this is that in this majlis, there's something that's been hidden, inserted, which has a link, a connection with the ummah, with the gathering of dhikr. And what is that? Why is this example being given? I ask for forgiveness that my throat today is a little bit not well. I've got a sore throat. So why has the connection been made with Jannah with regards to the gathering of dhikr? What's the special quality of Jannah? The biggest quality and speciality of Jannah, there'll be no distress there, there'll be no problems there, there'll be no issues there, no diseases there, no sicknesses there, no quarreling there, no fighting there, no arguing there, no murdering there, no false statements, no enmity, no backbiting, no gossip mongering. All of these negative actions, Jannah is free from those things. What will be then Jannah? There will be sukoon and contentment and love, and the love for Allah will be dripping. And Jannah is Jannah. That's it. What else can I say? What else can I say? Two opposite things are the dunya and Jannah. Yes, say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a beautiful, great statement, may I be sacrificed. For the ummah, what did he do? That before saying Jannah, before going into paradise, he has given us the taste and enjoyment of paradise here. Imagine, you have to believe this, those who have yaqeen. I used to study or read myself in the Khanqa. I saw the situation, my Hazrat Sahib, my teacher, his life, that whenever we used to go to meet our Sheikh, to do Sohbat of our Sheikh, then it was a journey of 3 days walking, there was a river in between, we had to cross that river, we used to go hungry, and it was the order of our Sheikh that in the way, don't eat from anybody. And we used to just tie the chickpeas to our waist, and we had no transportation, we didn't have a car, we were poor. We used to walk, others used to walk 300-400 miles walking, Hazrat Sahib said. I'm talking about my Sheikh, my teacher. I'm not talking about Hazrat Bayezid Bastami or Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi. I'm talking about those elders that in this day and age is about 100 years ago, I'm talking about 70, 80 years ago. Yes, that there were people living at that time who had yaqeen, and until Qiyamah they will be present, the people of yaqeen in certainty. So who undertakes so much difficulty and burden and travels to see someone? Tell me, who does that today? Who? For the world, nobody does it today, going by foot, taking out, undergoing so many difficulties, a river in between, then the river of Sindh, Darya Sindh. It's a very vast river, and it's in my area. And ships go from one side to the other bank. You have to cross the river by boat. From one city, from Dera Ghazi Khan to Muzaffargarh, we have to first cross that river by boat. Now there's a bridge. Now there are bridges. So to cross that river, imagine. And then to arrive to another city, then from there to go by foot, then there's desert terrain to go across that, and then to go across all of that to go to the Khanqa of the Sheikh, alhamdulillah, to reach there. And the next day in the evening to arrive there to join dhikr, and only to go there for the purpose of what? Not that we're going to eat food there. We didn't even know if there'll be food there or not. Just for one reason. What is it? That this hadith, they believe this hadith, our pious elders, that there the dhikr of Allah takes place, and the teacher who hosts the dhikr, there the gathering of dhikr is a garden of paradise. Imagine the maqam of those people. Do dua that Allah Ta'ala also makes our belief in yaqeen and faith like this. So that same hadith, they experience that. The Allah Ta'ala has taken that same garden and he's planted in Bolton. Subhanallah, that just like a person used to go by foot, that Sheikh, my teacher I'm speaking about, used to go by foot. How a great Sheikh he is, the 80, 90 years for doing ziyarat of his own teacher, he used to go by foot and he attended those majalis, those gatherings. My teacher, he went like that. And my whole life, that was my habit. As long as my teacher was alive, I used to go like that as well and come back. And imagine the value, the appreciation, the determination, how much they had faith and yaqeen in this hadith, and how much love they had in Allah. That no issue of the dunya, they had no connection with the dunya of the world. There was no benefit of the dunya for them. There was no earning in the dunya for them. Just thinking this, that these are the gardens of paradise. When I go there to that gathering of dhikr, that garden of paradise, what will I get? All those same things I will attain that are present in Jannah, in paradise. Subhanallah. So that Sheikh, my Sheikh, did that action. And he was so gracious. And then on this earth where we are now, in this land of people who have no faith, then he enabled us and permitted us to also establish a garden of paradise. That's why this is dhikr. Hazrat Sahib said to me, the go and enable people to do dhikr there. How did people know here? What are the gatherings of dhikr? 60 years ago, I'm speaking now. Did anybody know? 50, 60 years ago, what are the majalis of dhikr? Even now people don't understand and realize. That's how sad it is. That even now people don't understand how great is this gathering of dhikr. Tell me. Tell me, how much benefit? Hazrat Sheikh Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah said that foolish people, that there can not be anyone more unfortunate and under misfortune than this, that he attains a majlis of dhikr and he doesn't go and attend it. He doesn't go and join it. And what a great ni'mat and fortune and treasure for that person, that he attains a gathering of dhikr and he attends that gathering. These are those people who had yaqeen, belief and certainty in these words. These are hadith. That definitely, that is not a normal portion of earth. It's a garden of paradise where we will sit. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said this, it's a fact. We will get all of those same things. Then now today, tell me, we have distress, problems, difficulties, fighting, quarreling, arguments, problems, disputes. What is it that doesn't take place in our lives? What cure do we undertake? Is there any cure? At the end, we go to the hospital. And we take injections and medicines, and problems, anxiety, nervousness, depression. To kill off all these things, we take medicines, antidepressants, all of the fake scenarios in the world. Oh, I want to be from this problem, free from this issue. Let's go there, go and ask him. Home, children, and business and health. My brothers, that life is the house of difficulties. If there's any difficulty, any issue, any distress, look how easy the Prophet of Allah has made for the Ummah. That if you want the conclusion and cure for any problem, then go and start sitting in those gatherings of dhikr. The majalis. So who is giving us this cure? The prescription is being given by Imamul Anbiya, the head of the prophets. So let's make our yaqeen strong. Have total belief that I'm going to this gathering. My sickness will disappear. My problem will disappear. This issue, this problem, my conundrum, it will disappear in this gathering. If you have total yaqeen, then your iman is yaqeen. If you attend this majlis believing this, you have problems with business, house problems, family problems, any problems, get them together, collate them together, and say this is the cure. The cure will be found in the gatherings of dhikr. End of story. End of story. Tell me. And what a beautiful style of this hadith that the Holy Prophet, his own words. He said, "Fartau." He's made us like animals there. Don't be a human being there. Rather, extremely graze there. Eat and graze and eat. And what does this mean? The Mufassirin, the commentators have commented on this hadith. When you come to the gathering of dhikr, then do kathir dhikr. Lot of dhikr, abundance of dhikr, high quantity dhikr. And even here now, the word of kathir comes. Wherever dhikr is mentioned in Quran hadith, this word is always attached. Kathir, high quantity. No small amount. Kathir, the amount you can do, the more you can do, the higher number you can do. Yes, extremely high. Remember this in the dunya, that Jannah, subhanallah, if you want Jannah in this world, in your life, then that's through the dhikr of Allah. That we need to understand that what you'll get after death, that Jannah, that paradise that you'll attain, that you'll be destined for if you are successful. And if you want to find that thing before going into paradise, if you want to go into paradise before death, then Rasulullah said, I'll tell you where you'll find that. Halak of dhikr. The gardens of paradise are the gatherings of dhikr on earth. Allah's karam, His grace and mercy and blessings. The morning and evening He can give it to you, or maybe on one day a week, or once in a month, or once in the life. Wherever Allah sees that these people have love and they yearn, then morning and evening He'll give that gathering of dhikr to those people. And they are ashiks. There are lovers who are seeking these gatherings from far. They are desperate. Let's go, let's go. Yes, from other cities they arrive. If today if we were to open up this dhikr gathering, and there are issues, etc. And wherever, if I was to say that whoever wants to come from wherever, wallahi, you will see how much dunya will be sitting here in this gathering. You will not be able to control, look after in this masjid. There's no lack or shortage in the dunya, because the dunya is existent on this point. Allah says that my gathering, you think I'm going to wipe it away, eliminate it? If me and you don't believe in this, do you think it's finished? Wallahi, until qiyamah, this action will continue. The dunya, the world is existent based on these gatherings. It's us who don't practice this. We say, oh, we don't believe it, we have no need for it. Today, if I announce that from tomorrow, like from next Thursday, that anyone can come. It's open for whoever wants to come, come. If I was to announce this, then you'll see next Thursday night what will be this, the extent of this gathering with the blessings of Allah. Yes, it's us, Saab, the people of Bolton. I will say that I established this gathering. It was a hikmah of a wali of Allah, his nazar, his vision. Because the wali of Allah has a very far vision. Imagine his vision that he preferred this piece of land in Manchester, in the UK. And he gave that permission. Yes, so people have taken benefit. There are people. So my brothers, take the benefit. This is not our choice whether we should do it or not. Allah will ask us tomorrow. Allah will ask us that you had such a treasure. And I'll tell you another hadith. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that kullun shafa, all cures, all solutions, small hadith. Yes, I'm presenting the meaning of this hadith to you. The kullun shafa, all cures if you want to attain is present only in one action, which is the dhikr of Allah. The dhikr of Allah. Allah's dhikr. All cures, solutions to anything. So every week I share these words with you, alhamdulillah, so that we can understand this. We can understand the importance of this, so we can understand these words. And if you are stopping from doing something good, remember this, that what stops us from good? The enemy stops us from good. The enemy. Whoever stops us from coming to the dhikr of Allah, whoever puts obstacles between us and the path of Allah cannot be a friend. That if Allah Ta'ala instructs, is beneficial for you. Rasulullah is telling us it's beneficial for you. Announcements are being made for this gathering. The Sahaba Ikram are sitting and the Prophet said that this is a garden of paradise. And if anything in the world is stopping you, preventing you from attending, then obviously it will be an enemy of yours, won't be your friend, will it? Who's telling you? That what stops us from coming? Nafs, our desires, shaitan. They prevent us, stop us. Laziness, negligence, ignorance, whispering of shaitan, and lack of faith and yaqeen. So where? Are these our friends? Nafs, can the nafs be a friend of a person? Can shaitan be a friend of a person? If they're stopping us from dhikr, they inject whispers into our minds and hearts. So look at these words. Hadith, Quran, Mufassireen, commentators, great mashayikh, pious predecessors, they spoke about the deen, walis of Allah. I can give you an example of a wali Allah who used to walk by foot 300 miles. My sheikh used to walk to see his sheikh. He said we used to go there, arrive there after hardship, sit there in the gathering of dhikr. The next day in the evening, we used to turn back for home. And then, he said the next week, Thursday night, again he said, I used to travel, I used to tie the dry bread to my waist, I used to travel, dhikr of Allah gathering, I'll go and I'll include myself in that gathering of dhikr. Nauzubillah, astaghfirullah. That, do you think those people were mad? What they were doing? They weren't mad. The Quran said that they were the most intellectual people. They understood that this world is temporary. How long are we going to be alive in this world? This will disappear. This world will disappear. Every day janazas are prayed. Every day announcement, this person's gone to hospital, this person's sick now, that person was healthy and he's sick now, he was sitting down and this happened to him, this happened to him. Every day maybe we're sitting here and something could suddenly happen to us, suddenly. We are just a temporary construction. We have a breath inside us, it can go at any time. We are fragile, we have no strength, we have no power, we have no energy. There's nothing inside us, that we have no guarantee for our health. That within a second, there are thousands of machinery, things that are ticking over inside us. There are veins and arteries. Look at the complication of the machinery that's functioning inside us. That if any organ of our body fails, that for example, if you put a telescope inside or a microscope, you'll be mad. What's going on here? There's this system and that system, and the digestive system's working, the heart's pumping blood around the arteries, thousands of veins and arteries and pipe work and systems and machinery. I was sitting at night, and it was 2 days ago, and I was sitting down, suddenly I was reading something, suddenly there was a pain in my finger. I said, what's going on? I didn't pay attention. And then when I looked towards my finger, then it was swelling so much it went blue. After swelling, I thought, oh, subhanAllah, Allah's power, Allah's glory. Everything else was correct in the hand, but that finger went blue and it swelled up. I was just sitting down and reading. It was night time. Then I looked towards my finger. It was blue. فَبِأَيِّ أَلَىٰي رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ That Allah Ta'ala, what ni'am of Allah will you reject? Then I paid attention. It was a lot of extreme pain. And then I turned back to what I was doing. Then I thought, what excuse shall I make now for this finger? My excuse, something bitten me, as an illness come. I'm sat in the same place. I was fine, totally fine. What's happened here suddenly? Then Allah Ta'ala showed a sign. gave a sign that this is your the state of your finger. I could have made your heart like this. You could have sat down, your kidneys could have failed, or some other artery could have expanded. So this is the life of a human being. There's no guarantee for our future health, is there? So Allah has given us the cure. What's the cure? Dhikrullah. Dhikrullah. So then I remembered Allah due to the excuse of that finger that was unwell. Alhamdulillah, I'm sat in front of you now, and that distress has gone away. The issue has gone away. So Allah says, Kullun shafa. They have yaqeen, belief in these statements. That Allah says, all cures can be found in the gatherings of dhikr. With whichever niyyah you go, Allah will start to give you the shahada cure. That's it. If you go, there's solution to distress, to sorrow, to difficulty. So my brothers, make it a habit in your life. This is not a busy life. We are mad. We are mad that we shun the good things and we run after. We say we're busy. We're busy in wasteful things. When are you going to be free? When the real destination comes, that's when you're going to be free. Remember that sketch, the map that Rasulullah has drawn, the map for us. He's drawn the journey for us. Beautiful sketch. He stated, I'm representing the meaning of the hadith for you here, that such a time will come. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that be alert to this fact that what will happen at that time? That the bridge of Sirat will be there. The bridge of Sirat in the hereafter. And you know about the bridge of Sirat. Total darkness, and it's as thin as a hair and as sharp as a sword. Underneath will be hell. And this is the sketch, the scene that the Prophet has drawn for us. And we all will have to cross there. If we pass away tomorrow, the few days later, we'll be there. And there'll be Jannah in front of that person. You'll see the doors of paradise from afar. And every man will desire, let me quickly run and go into paradise. Cross this bridge. And I need to cross this bridge. I need to avoid the bridge of Sirat. Avoid the hell underneath and run and sprint into paradise. That will all of us will yearn for that. There'll be a time I'll be stood there, you'll be stood there. All of us will have this desire. It'll be the plane of resurrection. Hashar. Dev Hashar. As soon as a human being will arrive to that station, suddenly he'll be stopped. Stop. Halt. Suddenly halt, you'll stop there, all of us. And there'll be a final interview, questioning, say subhanallah. There'll be the final interview will take place there. All the interviews through the qabr, the grave, the previous tests, all will have gone. And there'll be this real genuine interview. You pass in this interview, the final questioning. If here you pass the questions and the test, the exam, then suddenly like the wind, you will pass the bridge of Sirat and you will go to the door of paradise and you will enter into paradise. That will be the final phase, hurdle, the final hurdle. And you'll be asked, have you prepared for this hurdle? Have you and me prepared for that final hurdle before the bridge of Sirat? We don't know. We don't even know the hadith. We don't know what's the preparation. Yeah? How difficult it will be for us at that time, tell me. How much life has passed in this world? Will we say in there, I used to open my shop, I used to be busy in the world, I used to do this in the world. These are temporary things, they will finish in the morning, you eat, and in the evening you go to the toilet, it comes out. That chicken, that morning till evening you run around earning for the chicken. Yes, morning till evening you run around earning, and in the evening that you eat, and then by the morning it's gone out of your body. It's gone, you don't even know where it's gone. That chicken that you were earning and eating. But that thing that Rasulullah is prescribing, that when this scene comes, then for that thing that when you're interviewed the questions and a question will be asked to you, and if on that question you are successful in answering it, then consider that all the effort you made, that the final question, that if you have answered the question, then suddenly you will run into paradise and you will become successful forevermore. And if you don't give the right answer, then you will fall into Jahannam. Say subhanallah. So what will be that question? If today we realize that question, then brothers, will we prepare for that question? That's what these gatherings are for. That's why we talk about these topics and we understand the answers. What will be the question? What a unique question that will be asked there. And the whole deen is hidden in this one question. And the meaning of this question, I'll explain to him. What is the meaning of this? That question that will be asked at that stage. This question will be asked at that time that Allah says, I gave you a life, 40 years, 50 years, 80 years, 100 years, 10 years. However many years I gave to you in life. Why did I give you? Who gave this to you? We say, Allah, you gave this to us. Why did I give this to you? Allah will ask. Subhanallah. Why did I give you life on earth? To eat or to earn or to gather money, to make your bank balance high? All the whole life Allah say I gave to you was for this question at that time before the bridge of Sirat. For this question, Allah says, this was a question that you are to prepare for during the life. You have to give an answer. The whole life you are to prepare for the answer. What was that question? You'll be asked. That the life I gave to you, Allah will say, the life I bestowed to you, granted to you. Your Rabb gave you life. It's not your life. Yes, you didn't bring your life from somewhere else. So that life on earth, Allah said, did you live according to my desire and preference, or did you live the life on earth the way you wanted? That's the question. Who can lie there? Who can lie there? Allah said, your life, every second of your life. Look, what is life? It's a whole combination of breaths. That's what life is, isn't it, on this earth? The all our breaths that we breathe in and out, in and out, in and out, put them together, becomes life. You take one breath out, that's it, life finishes. So what is the instruction of Allah? That every breath, every moment, every second of your life in this world, it should be according to the preference of your Rabb, your Creator. Yes, Allah says, I've set you free in the world. You're free in this world and there's no restriction, no prison. Yes, you are here on the world to roam around. Whatever you do physically, just do one thing. Be careful of one thing. Allah says that I have sent you to the world for one reason. That whatever action you commit in this world, whatever time you spend in the world, and whose preference and liking should it be according to? Say loudly. Who? Say loudly. Loudly. Say more loudly. Allah. You should live your life according to the will of Allah. Allah says, where do you run around in the world looking for my will? That's why I made it easier for you, Allah says. That according to understand what is my will and my pleasure, Allah says, I gave you the Quran Hakim, the noble Quran. Did you look in the Quran for my things I like, or did you keep rejecting the Quran? Or did you keep on just turning the pages and tearing the pages and wearing out the pages? Allah says, my liking and preference and will is in the Quran. And Allah says, who I revealed the Quran to, He physically, practically showed you my liking. Every action of His that came to you, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. SubhanAllah. Every action, every breath, every statement, every move of His, what was it? It is 100%, Allah says, according to my liking, my preference, my will. And that's the second easy way for you. If you can't read the Quran, understand it, then close your eyes and blindly follow and do amal on the sunnah of my Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And if you eat like Rasulullah sallam, if you eat like my Nabi, sleep like him, wear clothes like him, is a clerk like his, manners like him, walk like him, wander around like him, libas like that, your beard's like his, everything of your life is like Rasulullah sallam, wedding, everything function. What action was there that I hid from the Prophet? All his household affairs, his wives, how to sleep, how to be with your wife, your family, even those are made apparent so that you don't practice even those things in opposition to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Am I right or am I wrong, my brothers? Am I right or wrong? So this question that will happen before the bridge of Sirat, who will be successful? He who in his life lived his life according to Nabi al-Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam's practical way and sunnah sharifa. Because a person who lives their life according to the sunnah, wears the clothes like that, wears libas like that, makes his face like that, whatever he says I'm like, you like. For that there are kitabs, there are sunnahs, there's Tirmidhi, Bukhari, there's Imam Malik, all the kitabs tell us one thing, that what are the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Everything is prescribed, nothing's hidden. Any book of hadith, everyone will tell you the same, nothing's hidden. Yes, what do you think they come from, these kitabs? There's fiqh, there's jurisprudence, hadith, commentary, all the hadith tell us what was the style of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Because our life, there's ups and downs. Wife comes, children grow up, their weddings, sickness and business, occupation, friendship, buying, selling, society, politics, traveling, doing hijrah, migration from one place to another. The whole life is a journey for a human being. And every portion of that journey, whenever you want to live, wake up in the morning, Allah, today whatever I do, business or meeting people, society, everything that I do, the right guidance and line will be what? Say loudly. Prophet ﷺ's lifestyle and sunnah. If you live your life, that's no, I like other things, I like to do it in another way, I like doing it in different ways. No, we can't do this, we have no choice. We have no choice, we haven't been sent for an alternative objective. We are prisoners. When you are put in the prison, then it's not the choice of the prisoner, oh, I want to drink lassi now. You say, broke the tea bag, you got this much sentence, this many years. What are you demanding? Ask the prisoner. And he'll be upset that the things we're giving you to drink, and he give them back, that's your punishment. How can you dare to demand in prison? Who are you to ask and question, challenge? Whatever you're getting, accept it. and don't criticize. So Allah says openly that this world is the prison cell for the mu'min. This world is the prison cell for the mu'min. It's not your choice of whatever your Lord Allah desires. You do it, and when you complete the exam, then you'll be free from Jahannam, from the bridge of Sirat. Whichever door of Jannah you want to go into, go. When you enter through that door, then it's your choice after that in paradise. Subhanallah. Whatever you desire, hint, whatever you think about, that thing will come in front of you alive. That's the difference. So understand your rights. You are prisoners in the world, prisoners of Allah. It's not a choice. You're angry on somebody, extremely. Stop. That is, what is Allah's choice here? Say Subhanallah. Yes, that I have to sacrifice my desire here. Oh, he said, oh, I'll break his face, I'll punch him. Suddenly stop. Stop, Allah, astaghfirullah. I'm a prisoner. I'll get double punishment. Double punishment. Allah, what's your choice here? Allah says, ask my Nabi, says, what did he do at this time? Yes, ask my Nabi, the Prophet says, what did he do at that time? Alhamdulillah. And you'll attain that. That's it, end of chapter. That if there's anger, then how should you suppress the anger, control the anger? How should you diminish the anger? Yes, for example, yes, there are sunnahs of the Holy Prophet of the how the anger should be controlled and directed. This is the life of the human being. So this, my brothers, this question, if a person is successful in answering it, yeah, he prepares beforehand, he will succeed. So there are two things that we've understood today. Number one, the importance we need to understand, what are the gatherings of dhikr. Don't leave them. Don't shun them. They're the gardens of paradise. Super glue yourself to these gatherings. Attach yourself to these gatherings. All of the problems of the world will be solved through the gathering of dhikr. Subhanallah. That you'll attain them in the practice of dhikrullah. Guaranteed you'll get the solutions to your issues in the world. That you'll get the whole answer and solution. Start coming to the gathering of dhikr. Don't think left and right. Don't think of other things. That this is the hadith of the Holy Prophet ﷺ. And all cures can be found in the dhikr of Allah. And this gathering, this majlis that is existent, this is not some individual's gathering. This is Allah's grace and mercy that this gathering is established. It's a big treasure. Be quiet, come down, sit down and do the dhikr of Allah. And do dua afterwards and then depart. That's it. So will we do this, brothers? Yes. May Allah Ta'ala keep these gatherings established, expand them more, spread them more. May Allah Ta'ala give us determination and courage. Such a great ni'mah, we waste it? Tell me that so many times I've experienced this in my life. I speak to you personally. Sometimes I'm extremely not well. Yes, and that for example, some days I'm not going to go. There's an emotion I'm not going, but then the hadith comes to me. Shifa is there. Go and the shifa will be attained. The cure will be attained. Wallahi, I tell you that I'm not capable to come. And somehow I arrive. When I leave, there's nobody more fresh and revitalized than me, you could say. Nobody more fresh than me. I'm millions of times over. I'm grateful to Allah so I can do the rest of my ibadat. And I'm grateful to Allah. Definitely there's shifa in this gathering of dhikr, because the Rasulullah has prescribed this. It's a fact. It's a fact. So may Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Shafi'i al-muslimin ta'awwa yasin al-habib. Allahumma rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina. Allahumma a'inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Allahumma saddiqna li ma yuhibbuna wa ahshina ila ma tuhibbuna. Allahumma ihdina as-sirata al-mustaqim wa allahumma ihdina as-sirata al-mustaqim. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم اللهم نسالك من خير ما سالك منه النبي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه النبي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم انت المستعان عليك البلاء ولا حول ولا قوه بيمارو کو شفا عطا فرمایا اللہ تعالی تمام بیماروں کو شفا عطا فرمایا کچھ ہمارے ساتھی جو ہیں ہسپتال کے اندر بھی خاص طور پر میں اللہ تعالی اس کو بھی صحت کامل عطا فرمایا اور جن کے اعلان مغرب پر ہوا تھا بیمار ہوا ان کے لیے دعا فرمایا اللہ تعالی کو بھی شفا کام نازل فرمایا صلی اللہ تعالی علی خیر خلق محمد و علی صحابہ اجمعین رحمتہ اللہ علیہم.